Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to South Indian Bank's Q1 FY22 post-results conference call hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Divya Purohit from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Neerav. It is our pleasure to welcome you all to South Indian Bank's Q1 FY22 results call. The management team is being led by Mr. Murali Ramakrishnan, Managing Director and CEO. Welcome, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Very good morning to all of you, and thank you for joining us for the South Indian Bank Q1 FY22 earnings conference call. We are joined by my colleagues, Mr. Thomas Joseph, Executive Vice President and Group Business Head Sales, Mr. Duraiwelu S., Chief Credit Officer, Mr. Leelanand, Head Treasury, and Mrs. Chitra, CFO. We hope that you and your family are safe and healthy. We continue to appreciate the efforts of our employees who have shown strong resilience and the ability to adapt to changing circumstances. For vaccination of our employees, the bank has tied up with hospitals and also ran vaccination camps in our offices across the country. We are hoping to get most of the employees fully vaccinated by September 21. Coming to the macroeconomic factor, the Indian economy had started showing signs of growth in the third quarter of FY21 following easing of COVID restrictions and resumption of business activities. The economic activity was limping back to pre-lockdown in the third quarter of FY21. We were witnessing improvement in business activities till March 21, which was halted by the second wave of COVID infection across the country. There were subdued business activities during the month of April and May 21 following lockdowns in various parts of the country. However, compared to the first wave, many states are still under lockdown or partial lockdown, which has been affecting the economic activities, particularly retail and MSME sectors like construction, tourism, hospitality, food processing, education institutes, and a few others. Following the second wave, most of the economic institutional bodies and rating agencies have reduced the GDP forecast for FY22. We are keeping close watch on COVID-19 developments, which continue to be highly uncertain, including any new information concerning the new variant of COVID virus. Further, we are closely assessing the impact of second wave on our borrowers, and wherever we feel there is genuine need, we are extending full support with restructuring. We are hoping for meaningful recovery in business activities in the second half of financial year 2022. We'll give you a quick update on our six C strategy. On capital, following the COVID uncertainty, the bank intended to beef up capital and endeavor to raise second tranche of capital by September 21. This is towards the second tranche of equity of rupees 510 crores out of the total 750 crores, which we had announced earlier. CASA, the overall CASA amount have crossed 25,000 crores. Further, CASA ratio has crossed 30% for the first time. Cost-to-income ratio, the bank continues to improve its non-interest income and curtailed operating expenses, which has led to improvement in cost-to-income ratio to 48.5%. Competency building, the bank has taken many initiatives in the area of functional and soft skill development across the various levels of employees. We have also launched learning and development as a separate division under HR. We are also investing in a new LMS platform to facilitate training across the entire distribution network of the bank. Customer focus, the bank continues to leverage its digital capabilities to provide ease and convenience to its loyal customer base. Our share of digital transactions has been constantly growing and had crossed 92% levels for the first quarter. Compliance, this is given utmost importance, and all the products and processes are mandatorily looked through the framework of regulation to ensure total compliance. As far as our credit strategy is concerned, on corporate side, we are churning the portfolio with better-rated corporates. Almost all the new additions to corporate book have carried the rating of A and above. On business loans, we are following a conservative lending approach given the impact of COVID pandemic on MSME and SME sectors. On retail side, we have completed the revamping of the structure to facilitate sourcing from market proactively through vertical asset structures, tweaking of credit process to ensure better underwriting, appropriate pricing to risk, and a decision structure to ensure faster turnaround time. We believe that when the market becomes a bit conducive for quality credit, we'll be well poised to exploit the opportunity. In the meanwhile, we are leveraging our existing customer database to come up with pre-approved offers for personal loan and vehicle loan products. Gold loan is one segment where we are quite positive and are leveraging all opportunities to grow this portfolio in a balanced way. On liability side, we continue to see robust growth in retail term deposits and low-cost CASA deposit. The contribution of resilient NR deposits continued to improve during the quarter. We expect the challenges of the second wave of COVID will continue during first half of the financial year 22. However, with easing of restrictions and anticipated limited impact of third wave, if any, we hope and expect to have a reasonable uptick in our credit growth in second half of the financial year. Let me take you through the key highlights of the operational and financial performance for this quarter. The total business for the bank stands at 1,41,153 crores as at June 30, 2021. Advances declined to rupees 58,319 crores, mainly due to limited credit opportunities following second COVID wave in the months of April and May. We have continued to grow our gold loan portfolio, registering growth of 15% year-on-year to rupees 9,364 crores as at June 30, 2021. The share of large corporate loans has been continuously declining from 27% in FY15 to 5% in FY21, in line with our stated strategy of calibrating corporate exposure and building granular book. Retail deposits rose by 10% year-on-year to 79,975 crores. CASA deposits increased by 16% year-on-year to rupees 25,725 crores, predominantly due to continued improvement in our savings account business, which grew by 18% year-on-year to rupees 21,551 crores. CASA ratio continued to improve and reached 30.4% of the total deposits. Bulk deposits declined by 52% year-on-year in line with our strategy. NRI deposit, which has been growing steadily, rose by 8% year-on-year to rupees 26,664 crores and contributes about 31.5% of our total deposits. Low-cost NRI deposits grew by 10.5% year-on-year to rupees 8,275 crores. The bank saw a robust growth of 32% year-on-year in our NRI remittance business during the quarter. Our investment book was at rupees 21,333 crores, of which HTM category contributed to 15,466 crores, while AFS contributed to 5,852 crores. During the quarter, due to unexpected second COVID wave, the bank witnessed higher slippages of rupees 879 crores. Most of the slippages happened due to severe impact on personal and business loans. Overall, the bank had restructured rupees 691 crores worth of loans during the quarter. The bank has restructured loans of 548 crores under COVID OTR1 and rupees 71 crores under OTR2 framework during the quarter. Following the second COVID wave, we saw a dip in the collection efficiency for the months of April and May 21. However, with unlocking and lifting of the restriction, this ratio started to improve from June onwards. The overall collection efficiency for the month of April, May, June was 96.6%, 89.8% and 85.1% respectively. The ratio takes into account the collections done till July 15, 2021. Gross NPA ratio was 8.02% as at June 30, 2021. During the quarter, the bank was able to recover or upgrade rupees 349 crores worth of NPAs. Two specific corporate accounts with exposure of 207 crores, which slipped into NPA in Q4 2021, has now been restructured and upgraded during the quarter. The net NPA ratio was 5.05% as at June 30, 2021. Net interest income for the quarter was 542 crores. Net interest margin was 2.55% for Q1 22 compared to 2.61 for Q4 21. The decline in the margin was predominantly due to decrease in yield on investments and reversal of interest on account of NPA slippages. Non-interest income increased by 59% year-on-year to rupees 453 crores. This was mainly due to increase in treasury and forex income to rupees 251 crores, registering 72% year-on-year growth, and other income to rupees 110 crores, registering growth of 83% year-on-year, and core fee income of rupees 92 crores, which has increased by 16% year-on-year. PPOP for the quarter increased by 27% year-on-year to 512 crores as against 404 crores for Q1 FY21. This was the highest Q1 PPOP in the history of the bank. As far as profitability is concerned, the company reported net profit of rupees 10 crores for Q1 FY22. The cost income ratio for Q1 22 improved to 48.5% compared to 53.7% for Q1 21. Overall provisions increased by 70% year-on-year to 498 crores in Q1 FY22. These provisions included rupees 430 crores towards NPA and NPI and the standard asset provisions of 56 crores. The provision coverage ratio stood at 60.1% at June 21 as against 58.7% in March 21. PCR excluding write-off improved to 39% as at June 30, 21 compared to 34% as at March 31, 2021. Our overall capital adequacy ratio improved to 15.5% as at June 30, 2021 compared to 13.5% as at June 30, 2020. While the Tier 1 ratio stands at 12.8% as at June 30, 2021 compared to 10.8% in the previous year of June 30. We believe that our strong and diversified franchise, large distribution network, structural changes to bring about growth, infusion of talent and technology capabilities with improved tools will provide us the ability to leverage opportunities for profitable growth in the coming quarters with the headwinds in the economy tapering. With this, we open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask the question. The first question is from the line of Sanjeev Agarwal from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, thank you for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. Maybe in one of the media interviews towards the end of May, you indicated that the bank plans to increase the loan book by about 10,000 crores. And that we expect.
Sorry, voice is not clear at all. Sorry for that. Your voice is not clear at all.
Is it better now?
Yeah, better. Slightly better. Yes.
Speak a little louder.
Yeah.
So in one of the media interviews towards the end of the May, Murli, you indicated that the bank plans to increase the loan book by about 10,000 crores this year, and that you expect slippages to be between 3.3 and 3.4%. Given the first quarter results and experience in the COVID second wave, do you still expect that guidance to hold, assuming there's no severe third wave?
Yeah, good question. Yes, you're right, because when we were coming up with results for the March ended, that time the COVID-2 impact wasn't, it had just started and none of us could feel the intensity of COVID-2 and how it would actually affect the retail and MSME sectors in particular. So definitely 10,000 crores definitely looks a tall order given the fact that almost April and May is a complete washout and June we just started seeing some revival. And I believe that with the multiple lockdowns happening even as we are talking across various states, the opportunity for new good quality assets continues to be very scarce. I'm sure you must have also read the fact that COVID has actually affected the SME in a very, very significant way. Almost 70-80% of the SMEs have registered losses for the last year. So given that, I certainly would like to chase the number which I had communicated, but we will take it as it comes because as I'm talking to you, we are still uncertain about how much of impact it will have on the second quarter. And if COVID-3 happens, of course, the consensus is that the COVID-3 impact will be far lower. But then nobody really knows because the new variants, etc., seem to be very behaving very differently from whatever we could envisage. So, but if H2 is supportive, then we would definitely work for reaching the kind of numbers which you talked about. But my own estimate would be even if we end up doing, let's say, 5,000, 6,000 crores of addition to our portfolio, I think we should consider ourselves lucky because of the fact that good quality assets are not available and also the impact of this COVID on the retail and retail and SME, which is the growth area which we wanted to actually focus on, will definitely be suffering due to these impacts. So I would certainly feel that 10,000 definitely looks a much tall order now. But our aim and endeavor is to beef up the total loan book with the quality assets. The criteria being quality and definitely subject to quality being there, we'll aim to see as much addition which we can do in the coming quarters.
Okay, and any thoughts on the expected slippages in FY22?
We expect it to be anywhere between 2.5 to 2.7% is what we're envisaging.
Okay, that's interesting. And just one last question. With regard to the new book that you're building, the more granular book, what steady state credit costs would you model in your projection? And overall portfolio level credit cost for FY22, if you could give some guidance.
Actually, the new book which we started building, especially in the area of corporate, etc., we are looking at, you know, adding only A-rated and above. Most of the addition which we have done are A-rated and above. As far as retail and SME growth is concerned, we have just completed the restructuring of the business setup. So we have created the verticals and the team has just started taking positions, and we have started using our existing database to come out to the pre-approved office, etc. Definitely in the unsecured loan, we'll be aiming to work anywhere between 2 to 2.5% kind of delinquency. As far as SME is concerned, given the fact that market is terrible, I think 1 to 1.5% is what we should be aiming to work within. In a normal situation, I would have preferred to have a delinquency of 90 plus of less than 1%. But given that the market is very, very uncertain, I think 1.5% is what probably we can aim to. Our quality credit should ensure that we should not go beyond that, as per my estimate.
And any thoughts on loss given default? The delinquency, what's the credit cost?
Loss given default, as you know, is completely dependent on the secondary market available for property sale, etc. In fact, it had a huge impact in the last year as well as we are witnessing. So anywhere from, I mean, what we are seeing is, of course, the trend continues to hold. Wherever it's a residential property or a commercial property, the loss given default is definitely much lower than an industrial property or a land or any of those. So we would be guessing that, see, we haven't done too many, because not too many sales are anyway happening in terms of secondary sales of the properties, etc. But wherever we have done, we are seeing LGDs of 50%, 45 to 50% on an average.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pradal Gandhi from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible, sir?
Yeah. Yes.
So just a clarification first. So in this particular quarter, we restructured 207 crore of corporate NPA, and which were also upgraded. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So on the corporate side, in FY21, we saw a slippage rate of 5%. In this quarter also, we had a slippage of around 1%. And if I also exclude this restructuring piece, then the restructuring was around 3%. So the 4% stress was still there. So when are we expecting normalization in these stress levels in the corporate side?
Corporate side, frankly, if you ask me, I think the impact of, if you look at the slippages happened in this quarter, for example, out of 879 crores which had a slippage this quarter, corporate is only 168. So the overall impact of slippages, now we are witnessing more in business loan and retail. And given the fact that our corporate book overall book size is also only 14,227 crores, which is actually lower than even personal segment as well as a business segment book size. So, and what we are witnessing is more and more of contribution of slippages happening from business loans and personal segment. So I'm not too much worried about slippages happening from corporate. Of course, there are few corporate accounts which are still worrying, but relatively the worry seems to be more on business loans and personal segment.
Yes. And sir, would you like to share the corporate NPL levels and the PCR that we are holding on the book?
You are asking about how much is the corporate NPA alone?
Correct.
Just give me a minute. I'll just take it over.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Overall, the corporate book, as I said, is about 40,227 crores in my current advances book of 58,319 crores, of which currently we are carrying an NPA of 15,505 is the NPA which we have.
And sir, and the corresponding provision that we have on the corporate side?
Overall, that I wouldn't be able to immediately take it out. But what I can tell you is that overall, as you know, the provision coverage ratio, as I mentioned, it is about 60%. PCR has been improved from 58 to 60%, and even excluding write-off, it's about 38% now. Overall, considering the entire book.
So this is typically 10 to 11% of the NPA levels. So and on the overall levels we are at 8%. So I'm assuming the MSME NPLs are also on a elevated side, 6 to 8% around.
Correct. Yeah, that was my earlier point also. What we are seeing is that even in the delta, if you look at for the quarter 879, the MSME business segment has contributed 420 crores. Almost half of that is coming from MSME.
Sir, and on the interest side, so the investment yields show a sharp decline this quarter. So any reasons behind that?
No, it is basically due to the, I'm sure, okay, Leelanand, do you want to answer that? Leelanand is a head of treasury. Yeah, please.
Yeah, am I audible, sir?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, see, basically we have taken a view that interest rates are likely to go up only. So we have sold off some of the securities, longer tenor. So we have reduced our duration. So expecting that interest rates are given the inflation and all, we are expecting interest rates are likely to go up, and which is also started showing also. Even if you see the 10-year G-Sec and all moved from 6 levels in April, currently trading at 6.20 levels. So in first beginning of the year itself, we have taken that call. So we have reduced our duration considerably. So that our impact going forward will be very, very limited. So that has resulted in the interest income coming down marginally.
Okay. And sir,
that's
because of the selling of the process, which is why we were able to book the other income, the treasury income this quarter. Is that right?
Correct.
And sir, what would be the interest reversal impact this quarter?
Sorry, what's the question?
The interest reversal impact on the NIMs this quarter.
Interest reversal. You're talking about NPA interest reversal, is that? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir. Interest on advances, how much was the reversal?
How much is the interest reversal? Chetan, I think you have the number, no? 41 crores, yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. That's it for me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rishikesh Roa from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Good morning. So my first question is that in your non-interest income side, what constitutes this 110 crore of other income?
Just a second.
ESS
is same as about 70 crores. And, we'll give you the full break. Other income, see, we are the one which is sizable, I'll just read out those which are sizable. One is income from sale of PSLC, that's about 80 crores. Which has increased from 15 crores for March, and which has increased from 34 crores for the June ended 2020. So that's one sizable contribution. And the other one, which is a sizable one, is of course all the technology related income have gone up. It's about 35 crores for the for this quarter compared to 33 crores for last year June. Similarly, all transaction related income is 57 crores for this quarter as against 49 crores for previous quarter. And as far as other income is concerned, 110 crores, which includes 80 crores of PSLC, compared to 57 crores for the last year Q1. Overall, we have seen traction in almost all the line items, if you ask me.
Okay, sir. And my second question, sir, if you could provide a credit cost guidance for FY22 and FY23.
FY22, as I said earlier, it's about 2.5 to 2.7%, and I'm expecting the year to be as bad as last year. So overall, we are looking at about 2,500 crores of slippages for the year. 23, we don't want to double guess now because we need to see the impact of second half and how COVID situation pans out. So.
Okay, sir. So, if in case if it's normalized credit cost, what is your normalized credit cost, sir?
No, frankly, nobody knows what is normal now. Normalized credit cost, if you ask me what is my wish list of credit losses, I want it to be in the range of not more than 1%. That's my wish.
Okay, no problem, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Umesh Shah from Hanuman Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity to give you the opportunity to have questions. You see, yesterday I had also talked with your investor head, Mr. Chetan in Bombay. Sir, what I see the slippage in this quarter is about provision, not slippages, 497 crores. And earlier quarter also I did ask him, and more than 495 crores or something. And as he has explained me the COVID question, and you also been here saying about the COVID to impact and no one knows about going forward. So how much more provision you foresee for the coming quarters as of now? And my second question is, sir, that we are already raising, we had already, you know, taken earlier approval for, am I audible, no, sir?
Yeah, you are audible, yes.
And then we had earlier said that 750 crores of equity and 500 crores of debt. Now we have revised it probably to 2000 crores. So 500 debt portion is still continued for the coming quarters, maybe 22, as we had explained earlier. And this 2000 crore, how and what are the rough planning for the future to raise it? That is my two questions, sir.
Right. Now, to answer your first question, what we are envisaging as a slippage to happen for this year, I am expecting a subject, of course, H2, which is an uncertain period for any of us as of now. Considering that, I am expecting the year-end slippages to be close to what we experienced last year. So, I am putting a number of 2,500 crores for the year, which probably, be, given the fact that Q2 is going to be more or less reflective of what is happening now, I am expecting this quarter we had 879, Q1 we had 879. I'm expecting Q2 also in the range of 600 to 700 kind of thing. And if H2, if COVID-3 doesn't happen and if things become better, we expect the balance out of the total 2,500 to happen between the balance two quarters. We also hope that if the COVID situation becomes better, the recoverability and collection efforts will also be heightened. Because right now the mobility of the team is restricted and with the courts, etc., not functioning and in fact Kerala almost during the first full quarter we are working only on alternate days, etc. So, and we, you know that we have a very sizable presence in Kerala market. So given all that, H1 definitely is very badly impacted. So I'm expecting out of 2500 crores anywhere between 1500 crores is what is expected in H1 and balance probably would happen in H2. But we believe that this is assuming that the present collection and recovery efforts will continue. If there's a possibility for it to be heightened, then hopefully the slippages will be lower than that. So this is as far as provisioning is concerned. As far as capital raise is concerned, we continue to hold the same belief that we would want to raise a second tranche of 750 crores. After the 240 crores which we raised in March, we would want to go ahead and raise 510 crores for capital for this quarter. And the reason why we have taken approval for 2000 crores is basically to See, if things pan out the way we are envisaging, and if things become better in the coming year, maybe in the last quarter of this year or maybe in the first quarter of next year, if we see an opportunity for additional raise of equity, hopefully by then our strategy, everything will also be fully in place, and we would have seen the impact of COVID, etc. So with that, we believe that if there is a scope for us to raise further equity, we will probably try and do that. So right now, we are not fixed any timeline for the balance amount. Right now, what we are thinking of doing is only the balance of 510 crores out of the 750 crores, which you took approval earlier, that we want to complete preferably before Q2 end. It might slip into Q3. So that's the plan as of now. As far as bond is concerned, right now we have taken a resolution approval, but we will be closely monitoring, watching the interest rates, etc. And if required, and if we believe that equity raising is not going to be in the same, if we see that the opportunity for equity raise is going to be constrained in any way, then probably we might look at using those options. Otherwise, our preference would be to raise equity.
And these bonds may be after the later part of 22, first quarter of the 22 or something?
Right now, we have not even thought of raising, and therefore, when we will raise is definitely dependent on how things pan out.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir, for giving me an opportunity to interact one-to-one with you. And I thank Chetan also to help me out to talk to you. And sometimes we'll meet in Bombay if possible when the COVID situation.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavik Shah from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, just wanted to clarify the reductions during the quarter of 349 crores, they are mainly recovery and upgrades. Nothing has been written off, right?
No, recovery and upgrade only. As I said, 209 crores of restructuring which we did for two corporate cases which were tagged as NPA for the Q4, now they have been upgraded as restructured, and also we have done cash recovery.
Okay. Sir, the corporate slippages this quarter around 168 crores. Sir, can you qualitatively give flavor, as in from which sectors, what are the ticket size? And do we anticipate these kind of slippages to come in the following quarters?
Frankly, the worry, Dadu, I'll give you the detail which you're asking for, but let me first answer your question. So we have seen it from different industries. Basically, one is a realty, one is a hypermarket, the other one is into data management services. So these are the three big accounts. One in realty, one in hypermarket, and one is data management services. So these are the three big accounts out of the rest. All are very small ones. There is no pattern, as I could see. There is no pattern in this. It's just that it's cutting across various industries, and probably because of the continued COVID impact, the financials have been worsening, and it has led to them becoming NPA now.
Okay. And frankly,
if you ask me, the worry is more on the SMEs and retail, because that's the one which has been very, very hugely impacted by the COVID situation.
Sir, based on your assessment, any ballpark expected restructuring from MSME from here on? So, as in, we already have like 1900 crores of restructuring book.
Yeah.
So,
how much more will be restructured?
Yes, sir.
That we'll have to assess. Let me just check. One second. Just a second. Yeah, we are, this COVID-2, which the provision which has been given is, will hold till December of this year. So, what we have done under 2, already what we have researched is about 71 crores as of this quarter end, the concluded quarter. We are expecting another 700 crores to be restructured in the September and December quarter. So by December it will get over. So in all about 800 crores is what we are envisaging to be restructured under COVID-2 framework. Of which MSME is about 600 crores. Retail and others will be about 200 crores.
So
out of 800, we have already done 70. We will be doing the balance in the next two quarters.
Okay. So this will be over and above the 2500 slippages guidance for the full year.
Yeah, that's slippages.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sir, what will be the ECLGS disbursement? 1, 2, 3,
what will be the, sorry, what will be the?
ECLGS disbursement, have you done anything?
Yes, we have done. Just give me a minute, I'll just tell you.
Only
ECLGS. Yeah, ECLGS 1, what we have done is for about 9,300 accounts amounting to 2,600 crores. And ECLGS 2, as of now, we have done about 112 crores. And 3, which is ECLGS 3, is about additional 20% loans to accounts under travel, tourism, etc. That's about 7 crores. 4, we have not done anything. Hospitals to set up oxygen generation, that we have not done anything. So just to reiterate, ECLGS 1, which is basically for all business accounts up to 50 crores exposure, it's about 2,610 crores. ECLGS 2, which is for exposure between 50 crores to 500 crores, that is about 112 crores. And 3, which is for 20% loans to accounts falling into specific sectors, that's about 7 crores.
Okay. Little clarification, sir. So as on date, our outstanding total restructured book, including COVID, is 19 billion. And over and above that, we are expecting 8 billion from the 2.0, of which 10 billion.
8 billion includes 70 crores, which you already shown for this quarter.
Okay. So considering, sir, our LGD is approximately 40-50%, as in, so where do we see our PCR going up? So, as in by the end of the year, considering we're also going to raise capital. So, as in, do we envisage to buffer up the PCR because it's very low?
No, let me put it this way. So, PCR, if you are looking at the PCR excluding write-off, which is currently at about 38%, which used to be 34% earlier by March quarter, which is now at 38%. So, what I would like to place is that we will also be incrementally adding our new book. So definitely this quarter hasn't factored too much of new book growth because of COVID-2 impact. But with the business which will start growing from this quarter onwards, we will definitely endeavor to work on improving the PCR. See, I am not expecting it to dramatically go up. We'll probably, including write-off, it will be in the range of 60-65% is what we envisage to keep during this various quarters of this year. And excluding write-off, we would prefer to be in the range of 40%. As and when things become better and market starts showing signs of revival, etc., I'm sure our advances book will start growing, and given the fact that we have a spread due to our efficiency in reduction of sourcing liabilities, etc., we believe that we will have more funds to set aside for PCR. So right now what we are envisaging is if we can retain at about 40% level, I think that's a reasonable estimate which I can give.
Okay. And sir, any slippages were seen from the gold loan book? I understand there was a change in LTV direction from March on.
We were cautious all through. So though we have grown our portfolio by 15% in gold, our NPA levels are very, very low. It's about 0.3% is the there again, I don't think we'll lose any money. I mean, but for some very small amount of frauds which happened in the earlier years, we really don't foresee a problem. There has been, of course, some, this 0.3% has also happened due to delays in auctioning because of COVID risks, etc. So we believe that we'll be able to recover the money. But very negligible delinquencies. The NPA levels are very, very low for us.
Okay. And sir, I understand the credit cost guidance is 2.5 to 2.7%. So on absolute value, as in how much would it be?
I said no, 2,500 crores.
So that is the slippage, right?
Slippages, so, yeah.
What about the provision for the credit cost?
Provisions for the year.
Yes.
No, it will be in tune with the NPA provisioning impact, and whatever whenever we see our yield going up and our NIM going up, we will be able to provide more than what is regulatory required.
Sir, I think our loan book is around 68,000 crores, and 2.5-2.7%. So does it work out to like 1,600 crores across provisioning for the full year?
Just hold on for a minute. Let me just take out the sheet and provisioning. Yeah, we are looking at provisioning about 1,600 crores. That's exactly what I think you also said, right? It was 1,650 crores. Is that's what we are projecting?
And last two questions, sir. The movement of SME book would be very helpful, as in 0, 1 and 2 over March and this quarter. And sir, any as in ballpark guidance on profitability ratios, as in do we expect a loss this year, FY22? And as in how would
we don't want to guess on how it will pan out, because clearly it's very uncertain as I'm talking to you. So we will take it as it comes, and we will whatever is required to be done, we will do that. Therefore, I don't want to double guess about loss or profit, etc. But whatever is we need to handle, we will handle it and do the right thing. So, because today, as we are talking, we are only seeing the negatives of the COVID-2 impact. What we have not still seen is the positives of economy reviving, which we hope that it will become better in the H2, second half of this year. So with that, I am sure the recovery from even SMA book, etc., will be definitely much more than what we were seeing as the slippages in the past between the various buckets also. So I don't want to really guess how it will pan out, but I can tell the numbers as we have right now. That way, that I can share it with you.
Okay.
Thank you. I request to all the participants, please restrict to 2 questions per participant. If time permit, please come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. Participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Bajrang Bafna from Sunidhi Securities and Finance. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So, good morning, sir. Sir, one thing, you know, every, you know, last couple of quarters, you know, post you have joined, the strategy seemed to be, you know, that whatever profit that probably we are, you know, earning, we are trying to provide it and using it in the provision. So, and that is precisely, you know, we are not able to, you know, show the kind of, you know, ROE expansion that probably is required. I can understand that the NPA situation is not in our favor, you know, at this point of time. But going with the lower PCR, you know, even for next 1 or 2 years, you know, the situation is not going to change if you don't, you know, beef up the PCR. So why don't take the, you know, pain at one go and probably beef up the, you know,
sorry,
the PCR?
We missed your in between. We were offline. Sorry, can you repeat your question?
So sir, I'm just trying to say that whatever profit that we are generating, you know, post we have joined, probably everything is going for the provision. And despite that, you know, the PCR is not inching up. So the dilemma of this high provisions will continue at least for this year and maybe for next year also. You know, which will not give any hope that the ROEs are going to expand and the business is going to expand normally. So we have seen in larger private banks, you know, the burden has been taken in one of the quarter and, you know, the PCRs have been beefed up. And then, you know, going ahead, you know, there is a crystal crystal clarity that, you know, the provisions are going to be lower and the ROEs will be on the, you know, natural side. So I know this is a chicken and egg situation, but at some point of time, we have to bite the bullet and at least provide some sort of clarity that going ahead, you know, the provisions are going to be pretty much in that range, which is your risk list of 1%. So, but till that we don't bite the bullet, you know, we have already diluted at 25% of our book value. So what is the use of keeping that 30 rupees book value, and if you are diluting it at 8 rupees or maybe 10 rupees or maybe 12 or 13 rupees. So it you know, in our parlance, it doesn't give any, you know, importance and impact unless and otherwise, you know, we have bite the bullet. And there is a precedence in the history that, you know, once you have taken the PCR on the higher side, then only the valuation improves. So, you know, so my only, you know, suggestion would be that probably we should bite the bullet and show some amount of losses in maybe one of the quarter and, you know, beef up the PCRs. And, you know, with the funds coming in, that is a humble request that once we have the clarity of, you know, future that the provisions are going to be low, then only, you know, it will be appreciated in terms of higher valuation for us, you know. So that's the only, I would say, you know, the request from our side, and if you could, you know, provide some clarity on that, it will be really helpful.
Okay, great.
Hello.
Yeah, that's it from my side, yeah.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Mr. Soil Halai, Mantic Stockbroking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, very good morning, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are.
Yeah. Sir, are you there?
I think so. We missed the management line.
Yeah.
The management line is connected. Participants, stay connected while we rejoin the line for the management back to the call. Participants, thank you for your patience. We have the line for the management reconnected. So you may go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, good morning, sir.
No, I think the last question I couldn't answer. I mean, I when I started the answer, it went offline. The person was asking about biting the bullet, etc. So I wanted to answer that.
Yeah,
Sunidhi. Sir, sorry to interrupt you. So you may go ahead and answer that question and then we'll take Mr. Soil's question.
Yeah, please. So I wanted to again continue because, so sorry, it got offline. So what I wanted to answer to the gentleman's question is that we are not doing things which is going to give any miracle in the next 1 year, because we should remember that the bank had a certain quality of book and the bank had a certain business model. And we need to, when I took charge, we needed to take a call on how do we want to transform this bank into creating a structure which is going to help the bank in sourcing good quality proposals and profitably price the transaction so that we get, we sit on a trajectory of growth in the coming years. That is going to take time, and one needs to have patience for that, because no transformation is going to happen in a few quarters. It's going to take at least 3 to 4 years, if not earlier. Okay. The point is, therefore, what we have done till now is, over the last 6 to 9 months, we have completely transformed the way our liability structure is put in place and our asset structure is now put in place. Now, while we were doing all this, obviously the market also has gone through a huge unprecedented situation of COVID impacting. It's a definitely once a 100-year kind of situation where the business models of SMEs and retail have gone through completely awry, and many of the retail consumers have lost their jobs or their salaries have been cut off, etc. Many of the SME business models have gone into a loss, with almost 70-80% of the small businesses are incurring loss today. So given this situation, I think we need to, in order to ensure that the bank's fundamentals are kept intact, we need to ensure that quality credit is what will happen. And therefore, as and when we are able to improve our overall income, either through regular income with advances growing or through the treasury or other income, we are looking for opportunities to set aside as much as possible towards provisioning so that the provision coverage ratio improves. That's the reason why we have also shown, even this quarter, we have shown an improvement from whatever we were. I'm not saying it's anywhere near healthy. I'm only saying that it's a journey which has to be undertaken and it will happen over a period of time. whether market is recognizing this, whether market is appreciating this, I can only talk about the period when I took charge. I feel the market is clearly recognizing that, and we are quite happy about it. And the way we are going about is to completely look for opportunities to do business in a healthy way, so that we don't incrementally add any poor quality assets, or we don't want to incur any additional NPAs, etc. That's the reason why we have completely restructured our credit processes. We have created products which are safe, which have created process which are proper. We have also been hit in the past with the fraud losses, etc. So we have put a proper checks and balances to ensure that the bank doesn't lose. And we have also granularized our exposures so that we don't get hit with lumpy exposures. So these are the measures taken to ensure that incremental book which gets added to the advances portfolio meets with certain quality expectations. Only with that we can endeavor to get income over a sustained long period of time. If we go for anything which is short term, it's not going to help the bank. But in the short term, definitely we need to manage these NPA percentages and situations of PCR, etc. That is exactly what we are carefully doing, as you might have heard me talking every quarter about how we are maneuvering this. So I am doing all the structural changes which in my opinion is actually biting the bullet. Obviously if the economy situation improves, if we make more money, definitely we will be wanting to improve our PCRs, etc., because that is exactly what is in my mind too. And I know that that is the one which is ratio which is closely looked at by all of you analysts. So I am quite clued on that. We will definitely endeavor to do that as we see traction happening in our overall income in the bank. Thanks.
Thank you. Sir, Hala, you may go ahead with your question.
Yeah, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, just wanted to understand a little bit more on the SME side. So around 20,000 crores of exposure. There has been a significant amount of assistance given by the government as well in terms of ECGLS1, then probably in terms of opening up the restructuring window. In terms of, if you could just spell out that probably the NPLs that we are looking at right now, and even in terms of the restructuring, is there an overlap between ECGLS1 and basically this stress that is flowing in?
No, actually ECLGS1, if you look at it, the repayment has just started. If you remember, it was a 1 year moratorium, so that repayment has just started. And in fact, as per COVID 2, we are allowed to even extend one more year as a moratorium, I mean as a period for repayment. So therefore it has no, it's a very insignificant impact of ECLGS on the slippages. But what we are certainly seeing is that wherever we have done restructuring, in the past we have seen slippages happening from restructuring into NPA. We generally feel that it's anywhere between 25 to 30% of the restructured book become NPA. We have seen this number is coming out of the fact that this bank had done restructuring even for floods for two consecutive years, and then there was MSME restructuring which was allowed, and then this COVID-1 and COVID-2 restructuring. So of course COVID-1, COVID-2 restructuring, they are all getting done now, therefore their slippages are clearly not something which has not happened, therefore we cannot really comment about them. But one thing which I just want to mention is that whenever we have done restructuring now, especially in the COVID second phase of COVID-1 and COVID-2 restructuring, we are looking at restructuring only those cases where we see there is a possibility of cash flows continuing and there is a possibility of the company reviving. Wherever we feel that there is no possibility of the company reviving because the business model has taken a huge impact, we are going ahead and declaring them as NPA, and we are taking the relevant requisite provisioning needed for that. So that's the way, that's the approach we have had. So, in a nutshell, we would say that 25 to 30% is what we are seeing as slippages generally, which had happened in the past from restructuring to NPA.
But if I actually look at basically in terms of the ECGLS1 that we have given, probably around 2,000 crores odd, that would cover a 10,000 crores book, where you are saying that still now the payment has not started. Hence, basically the stress is low. So whatever the stress we are looking at is from this rest of the 10,000 crores, which actually is a very, very significant number. So any qualitative comment on the behavior of the ECGLS 1 book in terms of whenever you are interacting with the consumers, whether there is a scope of revival or how will that pan out probably next financial year?
See, how they will be behaving is purely dependent on how the market is going to revive, right? Because, see, SMEs have been impacted by the COVID because their business models have gone through the roof and their supplies have been cut and many of the traders, etc., they were not able to move around in the market, etc., etc. So when ECLGS 1 was given, clearly nobody knew exactly how things will pan out. Even as I am talking to you, I don't know any of us would know how it will pan out in the second half of this year. So therefore, clearly I can't give you a guidance on how they will behave. What I can tell you is what we have done and what was the assumption made when we did this. The assumption which we made when we did this was that if there is, if we saw an opportunity for the cash flows, etc., to revive when the situation becomes normal, yes, we had done restructuring on them. So how they will indeed affect going forward will be dependent on how the market is going to come back in the next few quarters. So we will definitely share with you as and when it happens. So please be rest assured.
Okay. And sir, in terms of basically the loss given default that you mentioned, so in terms of you actually indicated that recently whenever you are actually selling off an asset or something like that, you are looking at a normalized 40-45% kind of a recovery rate from that. Is that fair in terms of SME? This is what's pertaining to SME, right?
No, what number which I gave you is a mix of wherever we have done. See, again, this is a very, very unique situation. I think all of you should appreciate that. Secondary sales of properties are not happening.
Right.
Very, very few deals are happening. So it's unfair to keep projecting that number to be for the entire portfolio, because wherever we do SME deals, we definitely take a good amount of collateral. Most of the cases we get 80%, 100% collateral, and these collaterals also we take a mix of residential, commercial, land, and all kinds of even industrial property, etc. So frankly, there is no pattern to it. In some cases we have recovered more, some cases we have recovered less, depending on how that particular geography is opened up for secondary sales. Some of the states have had their situation much better than few other states. Some states have not have been under severe lockdown where secondary sales were not happening. And you should also know that many of the courts which were giving resolution, etc., many of the courts were not functioning also in almost all full last year. And the COVID-2 has only made it worse in the first quarter of this year. So I think it's too speculative to talk about what will be the likely trend on LGD going forward. But what I can tell you is that we have got a good collateral covering all our advances, because that's how we do business in SMEs.
But at least as of now, you have not seen the collateral value deteriorating.
That obviously, wherever we need a periodic valuation, and our provisioning also is done accordingly, and auditors clearly are verifying, and even regular inspection of our own internal audit as well as the regulator's audit, all that ensures that we are, wherever we see deterioration, we accept the deterioration and we provide accordingly.
Okay. And so secondly, in terms of if basically you could just speak about in terms of SME, is this basically geographic specific where the lockdown would have been most severe, and some of the other parts where you have the SME where the lockdowns have been lifted are performing better? Just to understand whether
there is not much of a big pattern. SME, when I look at the industry to which they belong to, it is cutting across all industries. And it is cutting across all geographies. Of course, geographically, if you look at my advances book, geographically, we are predominantly present in South. To that extent, it is spread between South being predominant and North being little lesser than that. But in terms of deterioration, I mean, in terms of impact of it, I think it's across industries and across the country.
So I was just trying to understand, because South has seen a more severe lockdown. So probably as the lockdown gets lifted, do you see the signs of recovery as well?
Definitely we'll see signs of recovery because our ability to collect, our ability to recover, definitely will get better if the lockdown situation becomes better. See, just to give you some flavor of this, we have had about 420 crores in the SME, which which became a fresh slippage for the year. And if you look at the kind of industries where we have had this, trade, professional services, textile, construction, engineering, basic metal, tourism, food processing, all of them are there. And trade, of course, since our portfolio composition has got a lot of traders, as a proportion of even in slippages, the traders are a little more compared to others. But it's cut across industries. And this pattern is very similar even in the corporate slippages. Corporate slippages, if you look at it, even in the NPA book, which we find infrastructure, food processing, commercial real estate, textile, engineering, agriculture, financial services, gems and jewelry. So it's cutting across industries. See, the good and bad of COVID is that it's like uniform to everybody. It is impacting everybody. But depending on the segment to which they belong to, the severity of the impact is very high for retail and SMEs.
So just one last question on the SME side. If suppose there is a slippage of X amount right now, are those customers still paying the EMIs? So they would have missed the EMI and slipped into NPAs. But are those customers coming back and paying the EMIs, or still now there is time to wait?
Yes, yes. No, we are seeing a pullback from NPA into SMEs also, SME 2 also. As we see, at any point in time, we are finding that people are, as in, one good thing is that as and when the situation becomes better, the customers are also today, given the situation that travel, etc. is so restricted, they are indeed coming and paying whatever is a due, etc. Because they are also concerned about the, bureau record, etc. See, you know that CMR and spread credit score, etc. is now so very well known to everybody that everybody looks at this for onboarding customers. So definitely bureaus have helped the entire lenders to sensitize the customers about the potential impact on them if their credit behavior worsens. So we are seeing that also happening.
So any percentages that you can give that once it has turned NPA, they are still paying off the customers? Any ballpark
number? No, we have not calculated that as a percentage, but I do a weekly review of my collection and NPA, and I can tell you that it's a fairly common thing to happen of NPA coming back into SMA and SMA 2 also slipping into NPA. See, we have this weekly estimation of how much is likely to be in various SMA books and how much is likely to be recovered. That I track weekly, and I can tell you that there is a huge movement happening from both sides.
Thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Soyan. I'll request you to come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. Participants, please restrict to 2 questions per participant. If time permits, please come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Mahesh MB from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. So just one or two questions here. If you look at these slippages that has been caused in your book, have you been able to do any form of vintage analysis as to whether it was a selection issue, whether the borrowers came in quite recently in your books? Because the bank has been trying to make some changes away from corporate in recent years. If you could just comment on it.
See, when we look at the vintage of the accounts which are slipping, the fact that we are now seeing slippages happening in SME and retail, which is anyway, retail has been a phenomenon in the bank from 2015 onwards when the bank actually started focusing on retail. So retail book, entire book of retail got built up in the recent years of last 5 years. So as far as SME is concerned, anyway, that has been the stronghold of the bank for many years.
In the sense, were these accounts originated in recent years, even in the MSME side? They may have a...
Not recently. These are all old. I mean, these are all books which were done in the last several years. We have not seen. In fact, I took another statistics whether any NPAs happened since October of last year. Hardly anything.
And second question, sir.
But of course, is too early for us to say with any certainty because, as you know, it's about 9 months since October, and also this is the period when COVID was actually in full swing. So either ways, I'm saying the number of deals which had got booked also is relatively smaller, and therefore we have also had the advantage of looking at only those who were experiencing COVID when we were onboarding. Therefore, to that extent, obviously extra cautions, extra were taken. But if you look at people who are onboarded even 2-3 years back, it's not a normal year for them because they have had flood situation for hitting them for 2 consecutive years. So Kerala that way has not had a normal year for some years now.
Correct. Second question, sir. And these SME borrowers, do they have do they have multiple banking relationships that you are seeing on the slippages book?
Yeah, SMEs of course do have, but considering that our average ticket size is anywhere from 50 to 60 lakhs, many of our customers are sole banking because they are all quite, they are all typically companies where the average lending will be, let's say, not more than a crore or something like that. But we do have, of course, maybe 20-30% of the book will be with multiple or consortium banking. Because our SME proportion is quite low for us. But as a new strategy, we will definitely be focusing on both the segments. We'll be focusing on segments up to 100 crores of turnover where the average ticket size will be 1 crore, and we'll be focusing on the SMEs with 100 crores to 250 crores turnover where the average ticket size will be 8 to 9 crores.
Okay. And this SDMR 1 to 10, the rating scale that is commonly used by all banks, have you seen extremely sharp deterioration amongst the rating scales in recent quarters? Which explains the COVID phenomenon.
Well, what we are seeing as a trend is that wherever the faster deterioration happens, like if somebody has been a CMR, let's say for example, CMR 3 when you onboarded them, and let's say when you query them, let's say maybe 3 or 4 months down the line, and if you are finding them having slipped into CMR 4 or 5, you find they have the tendency to move into NPA faster. Because CMR definitely takes into account also the utilization, the how much of the churning is happening, how are they credit hungry, are there inquiries in their name, are their receivables stretched. So there are many things which gets factored, I think, in CIBIL's CMR score. And what we are onboarding, we would prefer to onboard anybody with CMR 1 to 3, but then we do find that people with even CMR 4 or 5, they have decent behavior. Generally, it is believed that CMR 6 to 10 has higher potential for turning into NPA. But you've got vintage customers who are appearing as CMR 8, 9, but then they've been doing quite well for years where they've never had a default also. So it's reached a stage of where we can say with 100% certainty that CMR is indeed a very, very, very good representation of the quality of the portfolio, but reasonably it mimics the quality of the book.
Perfect. Thanks.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Sushil from Indus Equity. Please go ahead.
I was just going through the presentation. Basically, we are doing between gold loan and personal loan around 24,000. And our corporate book is at 12,000 crores. And I think our clear direction is that our personal loans and gold loan would increase and corporate loans may remain static or degrow despite our growth in the balance sheet size. So can you give me some outlook on how this personal loan and gold loan margins are there and what kind of growth can we estimate over a period of 1 or 2 years in the bank?
Yeah. Sure, sir. So as far as corporate is concerned, while we went in for a granularization of corporate book, which is where we brought it down from some 44% of the contribution to the total advances to close to 24-25%. Right now, as I'm talking to, corporate is about 14,000 crores and my total book size of 58,000 crores. But now what we are doing in corporate is we are churning the portfolio with better rated corporates, and wherever we are seeing the corporate, see actually what is happening in the COVID situation is many of the corporates are also flushed with funds. So they pay back the loan which they have taken, and they also start using much lesser working capital. Their CC and WCD, etc., they have started paying back so that the utilization is much less. So it's that is actually bringing down the corporate book. But we are finding that we are adding a lot more new corporates also into our book. New meaning existing customers who are coming in for fresh facility, etc., and where we are very consciously adding them, and they are better rated corporates with 100 crores, with AAA rating and above, wherever they are in need of 25 crores or 50 crores, etc., we are continuing to fund them. So as far as corporate is concerned, it will be like, it will be a lot of churning happening, but we will not degrow so much more from the current levels. Maybe 14,000 crores, I would probably say it will be anyway 12,000 to 14,000, 50,000 crores is what we will be seeing the corporate book. As far as the strategy for growing the overall advances book, we will definitely be focusing on personal segment and the business segment. Business segment, right now we are cautious because of the COVID impact, but as far as personal segment is concerned, in some of the personal segment products like personal loan, etc., we were almost non-existent earlier. We'll definitely be focusing to grow there, because there we can actually leverage our existing 6 million customer base to come out with you know, pre-washed good leads for giving them personal loans. We have already done 2-3 rounds of you know, pre-approved personal loan offer, where we are seeing that customers are indeed coming and taking, and these are all pre-washed customers with a good quality, with a good credit history. So that, and you know that personal loans are generally offered at a rate of 10-11% plus, and we are some of the pre-approved offers, so we were able to even get 12-13% kind of rates, and with 1% or 0.5% fee over and above that. But that portfolio is too small as I am talking to you. When we do more and more of that, we'll also be sourcing new to bank customers, etc. With that and with the kind of rates which will be prevailing for a personal loan, we expect the margins to become better in personal loan segment. As far as home loan is concerned, you know that there are prime home loan customers are expecting getting much better rates from the competition today. Large banks offer rates at 6.5%, 6.25%, etc. for a home loan customer. Clearly that segment is something which we cannot afford. So we are looking at you know, customers who are availing home loan, whose credit history is also checked and who are good credit worthy. We are able to get rates anywhere between 8-8.5% kind of thing. And we are looking at not a very large, very prime segment. We are looking at a average ticket size of 30-40 lakhs kind of people who are seeking home loan. And particularly in southern states, if you look at it, many of the borrowers also go in for you know, standalone independent house construction, where the land also is given as a collateral, and on that they will be seeking loan for building their homes. Unlike Bombay, Delhi and other Pune, etc., where a lot of flat purchases happen, here it's more of individual homes which gets built. So there naturally the cover, collateral cover, etc., is also far, far higher. There we are able to, those are the kind of leads which we are getting and we are closing now. So the way I look, going forward, what I look at is, the focus areas will be definitely retail. In retail, we'll be definitely continue to grow vehicle loans, where we have had much lesser delinquency traditionally. Personal loan, which is anyway much, much smaller book as of now, we will be growing that. Home loan and mortgages definitely will give a lot of stability to the overall asset book. So as the tenure of these loans are generally 10 years and 15 years, though the rate will be 8-8.5%, but then it will be giving a sustainable income over a period of time. As far as the business segment is concerned, we'll be looking at how COVID situation pans out, and then our appetite, once the situation becomes better, we'll be sourcing more and more of SME customers. Yeah.
Sir, your growth area segment, which you described very well, basically we are competing with large NBFC or private banks. So we may be in a sweet spot between both, and mainly against the NBFC, which do affordable housing or self-constructed houses, or gold loan is concerned, or some of these segments. Now, to stay in competition, what are we doing in kind of measures in digitization, turnaround time? Are we, to withstand the competition, does our cost of funds go down that we can support our margins by increasing our market share in this segment?
Yeah, very good question. Actually, to answer, both we have done and we will be continuing to do. One is, first let me talk about the turnaround time and digitization. Digital, actually, we, as I said earlier in one of my earlier calls also, that we have actually gone in for a retail platform now, which will be commissioned hopefully by September end, in which we can onboard all the retail loans, and where it has got a digital capability also. And the technology for the bank is a strong area, and more than 90% of our transactions also happen through digital. And we are using technology in very, very many areas. We are using chatbots, we are using credit models for underwriting. So with the platform coming in, we'll be able to incorporate the credit models developed for retail and as well as SME. Also, we have hired a reputed world-class agency to do this thing. That obviously will be onboarded into an SME platform, which will help us to digitally onboard customers and digitally process. So turnaround time is definitely an important criteria, and we have also streamlined our products and processes to ensure that our turnaround time matches with any good bank in the system. So in that respect, any good customers, irrespective of where they belong to, we can give a run for money for large banks. As far as the PL is concerned, anyway, we are not only digitization, even disbursement, etc. We have got the capability to do online disbursement, and even documentation can be done digitally. All the capabilities we have. So we will definitely leveraging our technology capabilities to do a lot more digital. But this will definitely get accelerated when the platform becomes ready and when the scorecards which are developed by our consultants will also be operational. We have hired Experian to develop our credit models, which is almost ready now. And we have also used an external international consultant for developing our MSME credit model. So this will ensure that credit quality is of a good quality. And as far as the margin to compete with large banks, etc. is concerned, you must have seen that our liability franchise has done exceedingly well. Our CASA has grown, our deposit base is growing, our cost of funds is continuously coming down. Despite the market rates being low, as we see, our overall income level is comparable despite there is a degrowth in our total assets book. That only goes to prove that our margins are with more and more high yield products which we will be growing, like a PL or vehicle loan or gold loan, etc. We expect the income levels to go up as we see, as we go forward. And we are actually not really considering ourselves to be competing with the NBFC or that way. In fact, to share with you an example, recently we bid for a very large bills discounting facility in competition with all the large banks, and we were able to bag the contract also because our ability to price is definitely there, because our cost of funds is comparable to any other large bank's cost of funds. And we are seeing good traction happening in our NR franchise. We are seeing good traction happening in CASA. And as more and more new-to-bank customers come in, our traction on CASA will continue to only grow. And we are pretty hopeful that with that, our ability to price will be definitely better. Our ability to source good quality customers will be better. With the good streamlining of process, etc., our turnaround time also will be comparable to any of the banks in this market.
Thank you very much. Sushil, will request to come back in the question queue. A request to all the participants, please restrict to two questions per participant. The next question is from the line of Shri Shankar from Intrigue Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Murali. I've got a simple question. See, you mentioned that the slippages has been across the sector, and you specifically mentioned realty, hypermarket, data management services. All these are from Kerala, or it's spread across Pan India?
No, all these are from different places.
Different places, not necessarily from Kerala alone, correct?
In fact, all the three which we talked about, none of them are from Kerala. Maybe one of them is from Kerala. That hypermarket is from Kerala. Other.
Okay. I think we lost them.
Yeah. Okay.
Hello, sir, can you hear us?
I can hear you, but I can't hear the management.
Participants, please stay connected while we rejoin the management back to the call. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience. We have the line for the management reconnected. So you may go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. That was my question. That's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I will now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
We went offline. I wish to thank all the participants, all the analysts who participated in this call, and all the people who took their time out and to seek clarification. I thank each one of you, and I wish to reiterate that we will continue to share with you the developments as and when it happens and the kind of initiatives which me and my management team are taking to steer the bank in the right direction. And I once again assure you that we'll give as detailed explanation, as detailed answers as possible for giving clarification to any of your queries. And we continue to seek your support. And I once again thank all of you, and please take care of your health. It's because we are going through tough times now. So thanks so much. Bye.
Thank you very much. On behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.